This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I'm Barry. This is The Voice Within for another week. Brought to you by
Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Well, there's something a little bit different this week. Kerry Marie Callender, she's an internationally trained and renowned psychic medium, and she used to be on TVNZ Sensing Murders series, which you may remember. She's been at it now for 25 years, and she's going to be coming to Hamilton. And over the years, she's been trained at the Arthur Findlay College in England, and she's also a member of the Spiritualist National Union, which is one of the world's largest spiritualist organisations. So she'll be here in a couple of weeks. So in the meantime, I managed to catch up with her and just to find out how it all started for her. So tell us a little bit about how you all started for you. Did it start at an early age?
Becoming a medium, I didn't realise what it was. Yes, I had spiritual experiences where lots of mediums do, but I had no idea what it was. I just sort of felt, I don't know, strange energies around me. I felt there's people around me, people watching me. I was actually sure there's people watching me. Of course there was. And as a child, I didn't really understand that. I spent many nights in my dad's bed, because mum and dad had separate beds in the same bedroom, but in separate beds. And I used to be very close to my dad, so I'd cuddle up in bed with him because I was terrified. And they kept on saying I saw people and I saw things, and they said that it's my imagination or there's no such thing as boogeymen. So I didn't really understand it. I remember quite well seeing my cousin, and he came to see me. He was just standing by my bed saying he died in a car accident, and I woke up my parents to tell them that my cousin had died in a car accident, and Tom had been silly to go back to bed. And then a few hours later there was a phone call saying he'd passed in a car accident. It was really sad. So that's an interesting experience. I had my brother told me years later he saw him as well. So that's interesting. He visited both of us. Mm. And then like lots of people do in our childhood, I went through some trauma, and I saw this young girl who had long dark hair, black hair, with sort of olive skin, really beautiful looking girl. And I used to talk to her all the time. And I got accused about talking to myself. I was actually talking to her, and people call them imaginary friends. So she's actually grown up with me. Her name's Elizabeth. I talk about it in my book, Breaking Free. So I became aware of it, but very confusing. Didn't really understand coming. Parents didn't really want to know about it because they're all very religious and Catholic. I was brought up in a very strict Catholic family, went to a Catholic school, all that sort of thing. It was a no-no, to be honest. And then I just Barry had a sense of intuition, and I knew they had a sense of intuition, and I knew if I ever went with my intuition, whether I should do something, not do something. I just felt things. I remember when I was nursing, someone said that I was very sensitive, that my sensitivity was a gift. I didn't realise where it was going to take me. I think they actually had some insight of who I was. And then my marriage broke down, sadly. I had three children, and then I met another person not long after that, and then that didn't work out. So I had a really broken heart, and my father passed, and I was very close to my dad, but he didn't really like the fact that my marriage broken down because I've been Catholic, and there's something that I brought up about this trauma I've been through. He didn't want to deal with it. And he came through a medium. So this is somebody said to me, I need to go for a reading. So I was very rebellious, went for a reading, and my dad came through. And the evidence was unbelievable, and it just set me on this completely new direction, new path of self-discovery, self-healing, and spiritual development. And yeah, and I never looked back, really. It's all started, that's how it evolved, really.
Right, yeah, it's quite a common sort of experience for most people, eh? You know?
Yes.
Yeah, lots of people have started off not knowing what it is or frightened of it, and then slowly sort of come to accept it.
Well, probably do you think I accept it and understand it as well?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, maybe a bit of both, sort of accept it and understand it, because you don't really quite understand. Especially, I think we've been brought up in a religious family where it's a no-no.
Right, yeah.
And so you have this sort of guilty feeling about it. Like, yeah. So for me, I stayed a closet medium for many years. I went to circles and development groups and that sort of thing. And then I nursed my mum, and when my mum passed, because she's very devout Catholic, very, very strong Catholic, and I sort of didn't want to disrespect her. And when she passed, I went to a life coach who said that, you know, I need to develop this. I went to Arthur Finney College. So someone told me about Arthur Finney College. I never looked back from there either. So I formed a website and started doing it more professionally. So, and I was told by spirit earlier on when I was a single mum at the time that I'd be doing this almost as my full-time profession, and that's what my purpose was. And I was in America when spirit told me this. And I was going around the Grand Canyon. I was listening to the Native American music, like beating the drums, and Spirit came for me and says, "What who you are, what you're meant to be doing." And I sort of argued with Spirit and said, "Don't be ridiculous. Like, I've got, I'm a single mum, I've got children. I can't afford to do this. I can't afford to give up my job." And yeah, and so it came about. Really interesting.
So you were saying you went to Arthur Findlay College?
Yeah, someone told me about Arthur Finney College. I was really interesting what happened, actually, and it all unplanned. I was with a friend, and she was going to put on a live show, and she wanted me to demonstrate. And I was inexperienced back then. I don't know if you remember Meg Simpson. She was going to be demonstrating as well. I was like one of her students. And I said to my friend, "Where do I take these pamphlets for the show?" And she said, "I don't know. I see where you guys take you." In fact, I've called that a chapter in my book, "Where do you see where you guys take you?" Because I came across this lovely lady. I'd never heard about Arthur Finney. He told me about Arthur Finney College. I'd never heard about it. And I thought, I have to go there. And that really opened my eyes up. It was like a new dawning is what I'm hearing. A new dawning for me. So once again, I was sort of led in that direction. And I think the really important thing for people is to go with the flow, to go where your heart and your desire takes you, because I think that's your soul purpose directing you to where you need to go, and you just feel you really need to do this, whatever it is, and that is the right choice for you.
Yeah. It's amazing the stuff that sort of gets put in place, you know. My experience with Arthur Finley was I had a reading and the lady said to me, "What's Stansted?" There's an airport outside London. Anyway, that's of course where Arthur Finley College is, and that's why I ended up there. Same story.
Yeah. It's an amazing place, isn't it? It's an amazing place. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. For people who don't know, there'd be, what, 5 or 6 courses every day of just about all year, and in different languages, all about spirituality, eh?
Oh, it's amazing because, you know, in generally in life, but you can't always talk about your spiritual journey unless you're around like-minded people. But in day-to-day life, you can't always talk about it, and people don't really understand it. And when you go there, meet people from all internationally, all around the globe, and they've got that union of having that same passion and purpose in life, and you just love it. And you, eat, drink, and talk it, and sleep it. You know, you stay there, and you just talk. You talk about Well, I did. I talked about mediumship, morning, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You just don't stop talking about it, and in the evening as well. It was like It was just lovely to be amongst passionate people, and that was their joy, and that was their purpose. Yeah. I found that incredible. And the other thing I thought that I really got from Martha Fundy was seeing these tutors demonstrate. That was incredible. That was so eye-opening for me, Barry. Mm.
Yeah.
They're just incredible, aren't they? The standard of mediumship in the United Kingdom is just beyond this world, really. Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. It's a miracle.
Yeah, no, they sent me on a course called Introduction to Spirit. So it covered everything,
right.
Mediumship, yes. Colours, sound, vibration, all sorts of things, you know, psychic drawings. Because that's me. It's not. I'm not a clairvoyant. I'm here to spread the word, you see. So that's why
it's your gift.
Yeah,
it's your gift.
That's why they grounded me in all those different subjects.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that was a lot to cover, wasn't it? That sounds like an awful lot to cover.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The course I'm running at the moment is 8 weeks with different subject every week. You know.
Wow.
So, yeah, but we used to work from 9 in the morning till 9 at night, and then we'd go in the bar and talk about it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. You just can't get it. So it's almost like it's really sad when you leave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I travelled. Luckily, at the time, thankfully, my son was living over in Putney in England, and he had a child, my grandchild, and his wife, my daughter-in-law, and I had a good excuse to go over. So I would go over very frequently, continually. I kept wanting to go back there.
Oh.
And I found an excuse, and then I decided to do my formal training for the Spiritualist National Union. So I became a formal spiritualist, and I went, did my political pass. So that was a lot of essays I had to do, study spiritualism. I had to do a logbook. I had to go to many talks, and then I had to go over to England, which is really awesome because I met these ladies on SNUI on the internet, and people would demonstrate, and we were in this little group together, and we learned about speaking and demonstrating, and we had to go through this like apprenticeship, and we'd meet everybody right around the globe, from Holland, Germany, you know, Scotland, everywhere, you know, we're just from Hawaii. And I think someone was Danish as well. And we just all met up, and we were this special group. So we knew each other. One of those mediums today is still my friend from Holland.
Oh.
So we went through this journey of doing PASS, and then we got through that together, and then we did CSNU, which is accreditation with demonstrating speaking. And I did private readings as well. I did three accreditation. So I really enjoyed doing that because I felt that it really made me think about the standards of mediumship, and which is really a really good base. I think it's good to have that really good base and that knowledge. And I think also understanding where spiritualism came from is also have a history behind it as well. So, yeah, I'm really pleased that I continue to do that.
Mm. Yeah, fascinating, eh?
Yes, and you can never get sick of it.
No.
I've always got. Someone said to me, I'm really sort of amazed at how I'm always surprised what spirit comes through and does. They always surprise me, and it's always unexpected. And I had a lovely visitation last night. It was just so joyous. It was lovely, and yeah, I was really excited. So I shared it with people. It was beautiful. Yeah, I really felt that they were quite appreciative of me doing this. I'm doing a tour, as you know, and they're quite appreciative that I'm spreading the word, and I felt like a lot of support from spirit, which is lovely.
Yeah, cool. So you're here on Sunday the 1st, is that?
Yes.
So 1st of March, and you're doing
a
special show up at the Convention Centre in Garnet Avenue.
Yeah, the Distinction Hotel, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. And then, to our great pleasure, you're coming to Infinity Spiritual Centre on the Monday morning.
Yeah, that's going to be really exciting, actually. Yes, that'll be great. I'm looking forward to going there to visiting you.
Yeah, one of our mediums was saying the other day she's looking forward to meeting you on that Monday, just to catch up, you know.
Oh, fabulous. Oh, I can't wait to meet you either.
Yeah, we've got quite a few mediums and healers and stuff that work through the shop, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a beautiful energy as well.
Yeah, well, that's what we've tried to create, you know. As you say, it's a safe place. Anybody comes in, whatever they say, it's not weird, because we've either done it or we know about it, you know.
Yes, you understand it.
Yeah.
You know, and you get it, and you're open to it, but you also want to hear about it as well, because you find it exciting. Spiritual person, other mediums talk to, it's really exciting. It's like, and I think, also I think everybody's different and unique individuals, and I think you learn from each other as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, over the 20 years the shop's been open, there's all sorts of people have come through, you know, through the shop and gone on to do marvellous things worldwide, basically, sometimes.
Oh, really? Because it's really the powers touch them.
Yeah, because they were like you initially. They were worried, not sure about it. And then that's normal. You know, we used to see people, they'd come in the shop and they'd wander around. And then when it went quiet, they'd come up and say, I don't know how to say this, but I see people at the end of my bed, you know. Wow, Bridget, brilliant.
That's great. It's exciting, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What I really loved about, I sort of had a visitation from quite a few spirits last night, like about 4 o'clock in the morning, and what I felt is that this excited about me doing this tour, and excited about doing these shows, it was really, once again, very unexpected. I didn't click at first, and then also thankful and grateful, because they really looking forward to it, and they obviously want to touch other souls, and that was really nice. So after that, I felt so much love and joy and gratefulness and support, and I just felt really enveloped in it.
Cool.
And it's beautiful. So it made me feel really confident about what I'm doing, like to bring the power through, bring the spirit through, bring the messages through, bring the evidence through, because I think the evidence is really healing in itself.
Yeah, that's what people like, hey?
Of course, because it's not, you prove beyond a doubt that there's life after life, you know?
Yeah. We will get our tickets from Event Finder, and the show is on Sunday the 1st of March.
Between 7 and 9.
Yeah, 7 and 9, right. And then on the Monday between 10 and 12, you'll be in our Infinity Spiritual Centre, and you'll have your books and cards with you?
Yes, I will. Be bringing them with me.
Right, so people can come in, get a book, have it signed, have a chat, and off you go.
Yes, yeah, that would be lovely, and it'd be. I feel it'd be quite recharging for me as well, going to a beautiful crystal shop and a beautiful spiritual centre. I'm sure that would be quite a nice pause in my tour to rejuvenate a little bit.
Yeah, we hope so.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Kerry Marie. That's brilliant.
You're welcome.
We'll see you in March.
Okay then. Thank you, Barry. Okay, bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye for now.
Bye.
Anyway, have you heard Kerry Marie say she'll be having books at the shop? She wrote her autobiography, so that will explain a bit more about her life and what happened to her. It's called Breaking Free. And she's also produced some oracle cards. So you can come along on Monday the 2nd of March and catch up with her. Now, you've heard all about the conjunctions that are going on between Saturn and Neptune and so on. Now, Molly McCord has been talking with Pam Gregory. So let's find out about that.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a very special conversation. I'm so delighted to be in connection with the one and only beautiful Pam Gregory, who needs no introduction. But in case you haven't come across Pam's work, she is a highly influential and very important astrologer right now over on her channel on YouTube. And we are excited to discuss the Saturn-Neptune conjunction in Aries plus many other things today. I'm just so happy to do this with you, Pam.
Yeah, I'm delighted, Molly. I think our audiences probably overlap. Molly does some beautiful astrology, highly, highly intuitive. I'm also very much looking forward to a rich conversation. We have a lot of content, I think it's fair to say, Molly, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's going to be great to see where this goes because we're both tapped into these higher frequencies of what's possible for humanity. And I feel this is going to be encouraging amongst all the chaos that we are moving through. So there's just so much going on at this time. What do you want to start with, Pam? Where should we start with this conversation?
I mean, yeah, where do we, so for me, I think, because I've been feeling this so deeply in myself, and I don't know if you have as well, Molly, I think many people have, that this window coming up of that solar eclipse in Aquarius, square to Uranus, and then 3 days later that very historic Saturn-Neptune conjunction, that's like a whole window, a whole portal into potentially a whole new era for humanity, a whole new spiritual era for humanity, I want to say. So there's a sense, I think, when Saturn has been at these last few degrees of Pisces and Neptune to some extent too, though that's now moved into Aries on the 26th of Jan, there's been a sense of weariness with the old world, the old systems, they're not working anymore, and weariness with our old identities that may have been perfectly aligned for the past, but are no longer aligned for where we are going, because I think we're going to kind of quantum jump many times through this year. And there's this real feeling of, you know, it's the last few days really of the year of the wood snake, and we really are shedding our old skins, and this fast fresh energy comes in. Solar eclipse, big new moon, new beginning, and the Saturn Neptune, and then whoosh, off we go with a whole army of planets in Aries by the time we get to late March, April. So it's very exciting, but you know, it's almost like you've got to have your ducks in a row to some extent to have some sense of what that new identity is, even if you just want to embody more love in the world.
Beautifully said, because I feel like that's what we're realigning with, are these new identities that we are consciously choosing and creating. And I look at how the solar eclipse in Aquarius on February 17th is at nearly 29 degrees, right, of Aquarius, and then the Saturn-Neptune conjunction at 0 degrees of Aries. These are both critical degree points that show we're at some big endings, big beginnings. We are busting out of our old self paradigms, and we've been slowly realizing that we're here for a new reality that we're consciously choosing to create, but it's happening so much faster than we've ever known. I mean, these are, yes, the quantum leaps and these accelerated energies. I feel like some of us are like, am I ready for this? Like, what does this mean in my reality in this year? Because things are going to be happening so quickly that actually I feel we can't be stuck in our minds. We have to be in our intuition and in our soul frequencies in order to trust that we're moving ahead and that we're making the choices that are right for us. It's like we're busting out of our own self-limitations because we're feeling even more, you know, in our light body. We're feeling stronger in what we have healed and cleared. And now it's just game on. Now it's like, it's really happening.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the more, yeah, absolutely, Molly, and the more, because it's going to go so fast out there, and there's going to be so much drama and so much distraction, so much colour, that the real trick for me, because I love to keep things simple, the real trick for me is go inwards, because I think this evolution is an inward evolution. You know, we are becoming New Earth. It isn't, because people often say to me, okay, show me. Show me New Earth. You've been talking about New Earth for months and months. Show me New Earth. Give me some evidence. Well, it's actually an embodiment. It's an internal process. And so we're not going to see it out there yet, although ultimately it's going to manifest in beautiful ways. But we have to feel these higher frequencies and these feelings of love and peace and compassion and joy and gratitude internally, and then we'll broadcast that out to the world. And I think turning inwards keeps it much simpler as well, because there are a zillion things to focus on out there, you know, doom scrolling, what's the latest news, what's happening in America, what's happening in Europe, and you can get so caught up in that spin and you give your power away. So remembering just to drop back into the breath, and I just say 3 or 4 times a day, close your eyes and take 10 slow breaths. Just even that resets the default set point of where you are coming from. In and it reduces your reactivity, I think, to all the crazy stuff.
Yes, and we are rebirthing from within in ways that we've never done before. I feel like this energy right now is actually coming from our soul's trust in our embodiment, where there's a part of us that knows we came here with the right codes and the right understanding of what is meant to come alive, but it is internal, it is personal. And we're rebirthing while in human form. And it feels like the more that we trust that, we do connect to the peace, the calm, the trust, the sense of I'm right where I need to be. I'm not going to miss a thing. I understand what has my name on it. I'm here with the universe, listening to the universe as the universe listens to me. And I feel that there is more and more people who are in this flow and in this frequency. But again, it's quiet, it's reserved, it's in the background. It's not what's out there in your face. And I feel that more people are sensing that's what I'm ready for. That's where I'm moving into this new understanding of my power and my choices. And I feel too, Pam, like people are going to have these like sudden, I keep thinking of as combustion points of awakenings around what matters in their life. Like what is really essential and what's not. And as we feel these energies taking us forward quite quickly this year, we're moving into some higher level expressions of ourselves that we're meeting for the first time. It feels like it's quite grand.
Yeah, I really agree with you. And it's, you know, it's so interesting. You've had that beautiful peace walk with the monks walking, what was it, 2,300 miles? Washington, and I mean the thousands of people that have come out and just wept at that demonstration of leadership.
And I cried too. I would just find myself getting teary-eyed watching them, the power of their energy moving, considering it's 18 degrees, you know, I thought, was that -3 Celsius? Like it's, and one of them was walking barefoot. I mean, if that isn't being able to move through discomfort with dignity, self-respect, love, peace, honor. It's just a beautiful demonstration of the power of the human spirit. And it brings us into a fact of what we're here to create. Yes.
Absolutely. And I think it's just perfect for the time of, you know, in their beautiful, loving, calm walk to Washington that, you know, hundreds of thousands of people have followed, millions of people across the world have followed, because I've been posting regularly, as many have on social media. And this is the new leadership. It's not political, it's not demanding, it's not commercial. It is just, it's almost Charaklo energy, you know. It's just holding this beautiful, loving, sacred space. This is the new leadership.
So beautiful.
I think that's what we
need. So then I was thinking about the Saturn-Neptune conjunction, you know, 0 degrees of Aries, and how Aries has historically been young, wild, masculine energy. It's that need to move, that action-oriented, let's get out the sword, let's make moves. It's the warrior. And with the conjunction here between Saturn and Neptune, it's a deep recreation of that power to initiate, but bringing in the Saturn sense of responsibility, the Neptune sense of compassion and intuition. I mean, very, very different energies. As we know, they make a conjunction every 36 years or so. But in Aries, in this sign of usually the wild fire, there's a sense of now we're bringing the responsibility into it, and the sense of what is my purpose here and what am I consciously choosing to create based on what I've learned about myself now. I feel like it's a deep a deep rewiring of our survival needs, of our primal needs, of our raw nature. And it's asking us to now mature into a higher version of ourself that aligns with the soul. And so there's this soul responsibility that I'm feeling as part of this conjunction. What are you feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. And Saturn, of course, integrity and moral compass. Yeah. That would be good. Good. You know, if we saw this in leadership, wouldn't it? That would that'd be marvelous. And so, and I also see this as adding, you know, as well as Pluto in Aquarius, the power shifting to the people, that it's the erosion of the old ways of leading, the old traditional top down rules and regulations ways of leading. And you know, it's very interesting, Molly. I was looking back because my very good friend Heather Emsworth, through some very deep research, discovered that the previous time we've had that conjunction at zero of Aries was in 4361 BC. So I want to credit Heather with that. That was the time, certainly in recorded history, that we know was the beginning of sacred sites being set up. So there was a sense for the first time in our records of a sense of the divine, a sense of the sacred. Mm. And I think Neptune brings that in very much. Because, you know, Aries can bring in the warrior, but this is a kind of spiritual sovereignty and a spiritual activism and wanting to demonstrate your spirituality in the world, but with integrity and balance and morality. Yeah. Very different way from where we've had it before. But yeah, this is operating at a higher level. And I think it's operating at a higher level because of this unique configuration of so many of the other outer planets plugging in into this as well. This is just extraordinary what we're going through. But it's interesting as well, Molly, because I like to kind of dig about in what happened before. And looking way back, in the 1860s, when Neptune was in Aries previously, that's when the Red Cross was set up and St. Bernard was orphaned children. So there's a sense of fighting for the underprivileged or fighting for those who've been excluded or, you know, who aren't quite as mainstream as the rest, who've been, you know, just they're poor or they're dispossessed in some way. So it ultimately encourages us to be more inclusive. And I think Pluto in Aquarius does that too. It's the brotherhood and sisterhood of man, isn't it? It's all of humanity and a greater sense of equality. So, you know, I think we're moving from this system of verticality of the elite at the top and the poor peasants at the bottom being told what to do to really a jump into a much more horizontally based society where we are all... we all have our voice in a bigger way.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Molly?
Absolutely. And I feel that what this is going to be doing as we're witnessing is that the top-down collapse is occurring because of these old structures and power dynamics that we've all known and we've all expected. But now there's this rising up of energies from the bottom, if you will, and that is exactly what you've discussed. It's this energy rising up within us individually, but collectively around what is important now, our new values, our new sense of humanity, our new requirements of each other, our desire for truer connections, our desire to want to be more heart-based and accepting of each other, to know that we're all on our own soul journey here on this grand earth. And I feel that more people are actually sensing that this is an exciting time, that we're meant to be in the higher realms of hope, of what's possible, and what we are even getting flashes of in our intuition, in our dreams, in our consciousness around why we're here. And I feel that's also part of this conjunction of Saturn-Neptune is that a lot of people that I've connected with feel very clear in their energy fields because they're receiving these messages more actively, you know, like I am, like you are, like we're more in tuned with the bigger energies that are available. And I feel there's something here that's reminding us that this is a very big lifetime for humans to be recreating a new experience on the planet that was either forgotten or hasn't existed before. A friend of mine, Mary Kennedy, who is a very wise excellent guide. She does the Celtic Wheel. And she described it as we are resouling the planet. And I loved that term. So I have to credit her, resouling what it means to be on the planet. And it is that big, but then it is happening at such an individual level that, like you said, Pam, we're bringing in more of the voices or the experiences that have been alternative or pushed aside. We're bringing in more of the connections and stories that have been forgotten or haven't been honored. And I just feel there's a lot of energy there that's really beautiful about what that level of acceptance is.
Yeah, beautifully said. Thank you, Molly. And you know, Saturn in this conjunction is our mastery, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The mastery of the new spiritual identity.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know you're super intuitive, and so many of us are getting a greater and greater sense of psychic sensitivity, and our dreams are more vivid, and the clairs mm-hmm. are developing. And I think particularly when Uranus moves into Gemini on the 26th of April, I think Uranus in Gemini, there's that sense of, you know, it's mutable air, and it's to do with the mind and consciousness. There's this whole sense of expansion that's coming with so much air and fire, the outer planets being in air and fire, particularly from July when Jupiter moves there too. There's such a sense of huge possibility to a degree we've never known before, and an opening out. You know, we're moving away from contraction and this smallness that humanity's been kept in to just warmth, this very rapid blossoming. And I think waves of awakening are going to be coming in all this year. You know, big mass awakenings. I think this February window is a big one. And then the Aries equinox and going into, you know, the massive stellium of planets in Aries. I've never seen in April. There's like humanity arising, humanity arising, having seen the truth. So that's another big peak, would you say?
Absolutely. Because I think that February starts this big incoming surge of, well, it's eclipse energy, as we know, but there's this rush of energy that wants us to move forward. But it's interesting because of how Saturn and Neptune are going to stay conjunct for a few months, like into about April or so is how I've been tracking it. Then we have the stellium of Aries energies that I feel everyone's going to get this burst of whatever they've been holding back or repressing. There's going to be a sense of April is go time. That's when things really start to move and take off into our next beginnings, our next adventures, whatever it is. And then we move through April with that, Uranus and Gemini just giving us all these new ideas and thoughts and things to consider and a huge expansion of our consciousness. That's also working with this Pluto in Aquarius. I mean, there's all these energies syncing up this year that we've never experienced in this way before. And I came across a term, Pam, I don't know if you've heard this before, and I of course want to say it correctly, but it's called creation ex nihilo, which means creation out of nothing, which is basically no historical template.
Wow.
So it's a place of no historical template. We haven't been here before, and the old rules don't exist because we're in this new energy field, this new paradigm. And I feel that's part of what we're maneuvering through here in 2026 is that we're figuring it out as we go, but we're moving ahead rapidly.
Yeah, I would really, really enjoy, you know, it's so interesting. Just before we started to record, I was listening to the wonderful geophysicist, Stephen Burns, and he was talking about this huge solar storm that's coming in right now, because there's been a lot of solar activity. And of course, that's coming in as we run straight into that solar eclipse, which is so electromagnetic, you know, being square to Uranus, Uranus rules Aquarius. You know, there's this burst of energy that it's obviously a big new beginning, but it's like a relaunch for humanity that's bringing all this new fresh energy at speed. And then the Aries equinox I see is the rebirth for humanity. So it's almost 2026 as a gift that keeps on giving with these steps higher and higher and higher in terms of manifestation potential. So, you know, leave the old behind. Don't drag the old stories, baggage, identities, the born chain, that, you know, all that stuff you've defined yourself through your life. Just let it go. Take a leap. fool in the tarot, you know, just trust. There are going to be so many of us holding hands, jumping off the cliff together. There are going to be so many.
Absolutely. So many. Yes. It's like in Tarot in the Fool card. It's like, we're all going to be those fools jumping forward together, because that's what is beautifully blessed right now. And I did want to say too, that I know that there's people who are not ready for the fast movements. You know, they don't feel like they can move that fast, or they're ready, because this is very much about action oriented intentions. This is where you've got to make moves. You've got to take that idea and do something with it. It's no longer just thinking about it or observing. It's moving something forward in your life that requires you to also move ahead. So I feel that there are people who are overwhelmed by that, Pam, and that those are the people who are maybe feeling like, can I do this? Am I ready? And I think the message is, yes, you can. Yes, you're ready. In fact, you have more support than you realize. But what would you say to anyone who's like hesitating or not sure? Because I think about people who have, you know, strong earth and water in their chart, that this is going to feel like everything's moving too fast.
Yeah, I really agree. So it's so interesting you asked this, Molly, because just a couple of days ago, I put out a video, Solar Eclipse Choice Point, and part of that was sharing where I'm at personally, because yeah. I'm feeling I just have so much going on in my work, and my move forwards is actually cutting back on my work. And yeah, I talked about that in that video. So my move forwards into this 2 years of shamanic training is actually cutting back on my current work, current workload, interactions, visibility, etc. So it doesn't have to be a move outwards in the world necessarily. Mm-hmm. So you can demonstrate what you're doing. That, you know, that beautiful Zen master, Vietnamese monk who has an unpronounceable name with too many consonants in it, Thich Nhat Hanh, he also to say the way out is in. If you're feeling overwhelmed by, you know, how do I get out of all of it? You go in. You go in. So I would again say just drop into the breath. And I'd also say, it's a really good question for people who are not ready. I'd try and link together with other people, either in groups physically or online, who are on the same frequency as you, who you feel are on the same bandwidth as you, because I feel we're going to be going up in waves. There are going to be some people who are ahead of the game, and, you know, I may not be, you know, I could be on the sort of 57th wave, but it doesn't matter, because humanity is now in process, and we're each going to help each other up. So that, you know, whoever is in the first wave is going to reach back down. Oh, so goosebumpy, and help the next wave of people. And they're going to help the next wave of people. And they're going to, and it was lovely last night. You know, I set up this free meditation at 7 PM UK time. People join from all over the world, and they just join energetically, or I've got some free meditations on my website, and people sometimes write to me about the experiences they've had. And often there's strong telepathy about this very bright white web of light, which gets stronger and brighter every time people meditate and check in with it. But a lady wrote to me last night, and she said she had this profound sense of a group of humans who were feeling slightly stuck, and what happened during the meditation is they were almost just whooshed, they were sucked up into the light.
Wow.
Through the power of so many people in a group meditating, because, you know, the group will magnify, amplify the meditation effort. And I thought, wow, you know, we're just sitting at home doing this for free, 15 minutes. How easy is that? So that is one thing we can do, and just trust, because Molly is talking about this, I'm talking about this, a lot of good people out there talking about this, that just trust that this is an incredibly unique and exciting evolutionary jump. And just trust that you will be cared for whatever wave you're in. There's no sense of judgment or morality. This is the physical energy.
And the waves are all interconnected, because I was also seeing these as we're going to have more of our smaller communities that are all connected. It's like these community of webs, and they're all regridding the energy on the planet, and they're all supporting one another. And it's all working together in a cohesive manner that isn't about the hierarchy or things having to be a certain way because that's how it's always been. I feel like this energetic restructuring is happening exactly through your free nightly meditations and through other ways that people are simply showing up in their energy. And the energy has so much wisdom. Like, the energy knows where to go. And so wherever those people were maybe feeling they were stuck, it felt like there was another group that knew to come in and we're going to help them. And I feel that's part of this new, it's not just a philosophy or value. It's just this new energy stream coming in. It's like, well, no, we're going to help you. We're going to help each other wherever you're at, whatever is happening on your soul journey. You're not alone. We're all assisting each other in the ways that we can. And even if it isn't happening in the physical, it's absolutely happening in the spiritual realms, in the consciousness, and in the energetics. Yeah, I feel like we're already, like, we're doing it, but there's just more people now coming into it.
Yeah, beautiful. And yeah, isn't it interesting, Molly? I don't know how you feel about this, but that Saturn-Neptune conjunction, Neptune, for me at this time, and the wonderful Dr. David Clements has talked about this quite a lot too, is that reality is becoming more malleable. It's less dense. We're, you know, and you've talked a lot about stepping into the light body. And Neptune, because it's so ethereal, represents to me our increased malleability at zero of Aries. It's this whole new spiritual era for humanity. But Saturn is anchoring it and almost helping that light body to crystallize, I want to say.
Yes. Yes. That's genius. It is, because that's where we need Saturn. We need Saturn, even though Saturn gets a bad rap and Saturn has, you know, all of the stuff that comes with the Saturn transit. I actually like Saturn. But I feel that what Saturn is doing is making sure it lands, making sure that, yes, it's crystallized, it's real, we're owning it. It supports our authority and our mastery. So there's some beautiful energy syncing up here with the Saturn-Neptune conjunction that's making sure that we're really feeling these changes.
Yeah. And it's in the body, you know, it's a physical thing, because that's the big difference, isn't it, with this evolutionary jump that we're making. It's through the body. And as I understand it from all these very clever people who are very gifted, this is the first time this has happened. You know, our bodies are kind of an antennae to transmute these very high cosmic frequencies coming in and also be in symbiosis with Gaia and her rebirth.
Yes, absolutely.
Through our physicality. And it's, you know, it's quite hard on you. I don't know how your sleep is going right now, but, you know, it's physical symptoms, but that's part of it. That's all evidence for us making these very fast jumps. And just know that you're not alone. You know, we're all feeling that, and we're all rising together. And I think as we get through, even as we get through this solar eclipse, Saturn-Neptune conjunction, and into that Aries equinox, there's a real feeling, a warmth surge and momentum, and a real feeling of humanity standing in their ground lovingly, peacefully, with huge compassion for all. But we are not going to be small anymore.
Beautiful. Right. Because we're owning the fact that we never were, and that we're here to be these bigger vessels of energy that reminds us we have everything we need, that we have all the support, we have the tools, we have the guidance, we have the gifts, we have ways of making money, of making a career shift, of knowing exactly what to do. And I feel that's good to say, simply because I know people go into the practical stuff of, okay, you can talk about all these energetics, but I'm worried about my bills, or what am I going to do with my child, or what's going on, you know, with my parents. So I know people have very real world concerns that we all navigate, but I feel that part of this energy is going to show you faster solutions, faster breakthroughs and possibilities. So I guess keep that in your expectations, that I know there can be phases in life where you're just moving through things and you're hoping that a solution presents itself, like, at some point. I think that's going to happen sooner than later. You're not going to be waiting months and months for something. It's almost like it comes through within hours, maybe.
Yeah, I really feel that. And if you are in your passion, you know, whatever that passion is, whether it's knitting or growing vegetables or artwork or whatever, this is going to be, and it's starting already, this much greater sense of coming together to share. It's almost like, you know, the the older people talk about the war days and rationing and how they all shared. And I've got friends who've opened up their gardens for other friends to grow vegetables. And there's just this joy in sharing and collaboration. And I think we really are moving from an age of profit to philanthropy, where we want to give to people. Because as we have this greater sense of oneness and connection with others, and a much greater awareness of how so many people in the world are, you know, going through so many horrors, we want, you know, much more to take down the fences of our gardens and say, what can I do to help you?
What, you yeah.
know, what can I do? Can I raise funds for you? Can I send a donation? Can I do a live stream and send you money? You know, what can I do with whatever my gift or my passion is in order to, because that will come back to you, because energy is just a resource, isn't it? I mean, money is just an energy. It's just a resource that bounces back. And I also feel, Molly, and I don't know if you feel it too, that the way we've regarded energy and money in the past, which is so essential for survival, because we've lived in survival. I've got to have money to pay the bills, the mortgage, the gas bill, blah, 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 buy food. I think that will soften somehow as we move out of survival into sharing.
Yeah.
Just be a less of an urgency of that contracted state we've lived in, that everything is about survival, because we'll be so excited about our multidimensional experience. And I've mentioned that, you know, our excitement will be, I spoke to a tree being this morning. It's not having a night out in town and spending $400. You know, I spoke to a tree being and he spoke back. That's my excitement. And that was free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It would be the joy of the interconnection to the multidimensionality of our universe that will be our abundance. Yeah. That will be our abundance, not a night out clubbing. I mean, it's been a long time since I went. It's nothing that needs funding in the way that we've experienced abundance or joy in the past. Does that make sense?
Oh, and I completely agree. Yes, because I think that part of our expansion of this year especially is seeing and feeling more of these multidimensional conversations, connections, and energies. And so just like we talk to the trees, or we talk to the fairies, or we see more of our guides, like we're opening up our frequency capabilities to see more and to trust that it's real. And I feel that that's going to also support us in knowing that if I can really connect with all these areas of life and experiences, it means that there's also so many more possibilities, solutions, and opportunities that I didn't see before either. So I feel that it's part of this, the veil is going to be more thoroughly gone. It's going to be dissolved for those who are in the higher frequencies, which we usually call 5D. And it reminds me of some of the teachings of Edgar Cayce, where he talked about the Great Dissolution, which wasn't like one event, I don't think, but it was more about humanity is moving through a lot of density. And once that density collapses and is removed, the veil is gone and we're existing in more harmony with more energies. And I feel that's a big part of this year, especially the Saturn-Neptune conjunction. It's like, it's the Great Dissolution. It's all being taken out to sea with Neptune, and then more is being brought in.
Yeah. And the fact that that unique configuration is all very positive aspects, the trine between Pluto and Uranus, the sextiles from Pluto and Uranus to Neptune, they are all positive. They're not challenging. And they have incredible seed points. You know, if we look back to the original conjunctions of those outer planets, which I've banged on about in many videos, but this is, you know, this is the blossoming of those.
Yeah.
And so I just have a feeling that we're going to surge and surge and surge to higher levels, which we've not experienced in our lifetime, or maybe many lifetimes, that we're just almost that our lives to date are going to go to dust.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I've said this in a couple of videos, that I feel even at a certain age now, this is the beginning of my real life. This is why I came to experience goosebumps. And, you know, we are the bridge builders, because we have this canvas of Saturn, Neptune at zero of Aries. And in every moment, we are adding paint to that canvas. In every moment Are we in calm? Are we in peace? Are we in love? Are we in compassion? Are we helping a neighbor? You know, are we moving away from reactivity? Because every single moment, right, counts. Every single moment is adding a weight in the side of the scale that's moving us towards greater coherence, greater compassion, and a more loving earth. And that's my
absolutely.
That's, you know, it's interesting. Saturn, Neptune, spiritual responsibility.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Walking the talk. Walking the talk. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think every single one of us, because we can't stop our thoughts and our feelings in every moment, be aware that you're adding paint to the canvas. And is mm-hmm. it positive paint and loving paint, or is it, you know, is it less good? So catch yourself. You know, I often mm-hmm. talk about post-it notes all over the house to catch yourself, to make sure. You know, somebody recently, a couple of months ago, said, if you say anything negative or think anything negative, and of course we have to honour if we're in grief or, you know, we've had a bereavement or that kind of thing, but just the general grunge that runs through our heads of, you know, I'm not good enough, smart enough, young enough, pretty enough. She said, develop a word or a phrase that's your delete key. So mine is yeah. find freedom. So every time mm-hmm. I have a negative thought, oh, it's raining again, you know, fun and freedom, mm-hmm. fun and freedom. And that instantly raises your frequency just a little bit. So you develop your own delete key. But every time you use that, it just takes you to a slightly higher level of frequency. And it becomes quite funny, actually, you know, because that becomes your set point at a higher level yeah. as you go through your days. Does that
help? Oh, I love that. That's a great tip. And it makes me think right away of our Mercuries and how our natal Mercuries can go into places that we don't always objectively see, because we're always in our own mind. Like, we don't see our own Mercuries until you learn your astrology chart and you understand your Mercury and the aspects to your Mercury. But this is a good way to look at, what are my reoccurring thoughts that maybe have started with my natal Mercury that, yes, I'm elevating. Resetting the frequency. I love that, Pam. That's such a great tip. And it's so easy. So easy.
Yeah, it's interesting. Saturn Neptune is right on my Mercury right now. 1 degree of Aries.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm feeling this a lot. So
yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then I know that as we've been talking about all these wonderful, beautiful alignments, the planets move forward and have this rare configuration at 4 degrees of each sign in July. So that's when we'll have Neptune at 4 degrees of Aries, Uranus 4 degrees Gemini, Pluto 4 degrees of Aquarius, and then we'll also have Jupiter newly in Leo at 4 degrees, making this amazing configuration that I don't think we've ever had this before.
No, I don't think any astrologer has been able to find when we've had that configuration before. It's completely unique. And I think history books will be written about this year. And that's the crescendo. Yes. Do you feel
that? I do. And as you were describing what we're growing and what's blooming, I think there's going to be a lot of blossoming. I feel it's a very colorful, very alive energy, because we have the strong fire, the strong air all syncing up. I think there's going to be a big reset on the planet. Like, I see it in terms of an energetic grid that's being invigorated in a whole new way on the planet. And I don't even know exactly what I mean by that. I'm just saying there's a lot coming in that's syncing up and turning the course, like turning us in a new trajectory that we're going to then be developing and moving into, that starts in July, right? Because it's going to actually play out into 2027 as well, like as the planets retrograde back across 4 degrees. But yeah, there's going to be some kind of big developments happening, especially personally, if you have planets near 4 degrees, that is going to set you off in a new life direction. I don't know. It's hard to describe with all these big energies. What do you think, Pam? How would you?
Absolutely. You know, at the moment, it's been, if you have anything sort of 0 to 2 degrees of pretty much any sign, you'll have received aspects from Pluto, Neptune, Saturn in recent months. But as we move forwards, it's really, what would you say, Molly, anything from kind of 2 to 6 degrees, because they're becoming exact at 4 in July. And It's so interesting. I see it as the blossoming of so many seed points, you know, the blossoming of that original seed point of Uranus, Neptune, Pluto in 577 BC, which was around about the time of Buddha and Pythagoras and consciousness yeah. and divinity, and, you know, or the Uranus Pluto conjunction in 1965-66, which was all about hippiedom and love and peace and community and anti-war and greater equality and demands for better rights, whether it's the Disclosure Project in Uranus Neptune in 1993. All of those themes are blossoming as we get into this. So, and all of them are going to be in air and fire, and that's expansive. So it's a big message, particularly in the year of the fire horse, to do with freedom, expansion, possibility, freedom, big time. We are no longer going to be contained or constrained, because everything is expansive, you know. But Uranus in Gemini, mutable air, super expansive. And so I see that as it's a massive blossoming that will continue to unfold, as you say, Molly, through the rest of 26 into 27 and beyond. But that really is a kind of major high point in humanity's evolution. I think we could be seeing a lot of space travel at that time, maybe anti-gravity transport, which I know Nassim Harriman is working on right now, really starting to develop more fully. I know there's a lot happening with flying cars in prototypes right now, but I think the demand for greater human rights, civil rights, equality across the world, shifting away from tyranny, authoritarianism, all of that will be huge at that time. Humanity rising together in unified and saying no.
Right. We're yes.
into infinite possibility and all that we are already becoming. And I think it's thrilling.
And I think about how, you know, February being such a powerful point of these energies really coming in strongly, as we've been describing, July isn't that far away. So it's almost like there is this short amount of time of rapid development into the next level, into the upgrades, the freedom, the expansion, the new creations. And that's part of the quantum leaping of this year, where you may be surprised at how quickly the second half of this year looks compared to where you started in January. I mean, I, and then we of course go into the next few years where it only continues. So I guess for everyone to know, it's like, this is something that your soul is ready for and that your mind doesn't have to overthink or overplan. Cause you can't plan in these energies like we used to, if you will. It's almost like there's going to be too much that you're going to be trusting. You're going to be feeling a yes or a no. You're going to be feeling you want this or you don't. There's more immediacy in your own answers. And that's part of like living more in these higher frequencies too, where you're just trusting that you know exactly what to do and you don't have to stress about it. Like coming from those survival needs that we've all known and we've all had, it's almost like there's going to be more effortlessness, I feel, and perhaps even more grace, like just a sense of this is going to work out. This is going to come together. I'm going to know what to do. I think all of that's going to be beautifully supported for people who are choosing, because it's a choice, who are choosing to be working and living with these energies.
Yeah, beautifully said. And it's navigating with the heart, isn't it?
Yeah.
No longer with the head, it's navigating with the heart, because the mind, although it's been so useful, it tends to operate in a linear way, whereas the heart is just going with the flow of these higher level energies coming in. And so that's where our intuition is going to blossom. And, you know, I've mentioned recently, it's almost like I think there's a new kind of heart-brain complex developing, where the mind becomes secondary to the heart. But it's secondary to the heart. The heart is really going to open up, because that's where our healing ability comes from, our connection to other living beings, our sense of oneness, our sense of flow. And that's where we're going. So trusting the heart and dropping into the heart more and more, and kind of just shutting down our monkey minds, because I know you've been in the corporate world, Molly, and so have I, and we've been so trained into this kind of linearity of you've got to have business goals and you've got to, you know, do A, B, C, D. That's all going to go because that doesn't serve us to the best. And so it's a very different way of being and living, I think, from this point on. And February is kickoff time. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And so when we look at how the energies are going to be moving ahead, there's going to be things that we just start to do. I feel that some people are going to have new gifts, skills, and abilities that just come online or just feel like they can do it naturally. I think there's things that are blossoming here and expanding within us that we just realize I can innately do this, or I'm naturally good at something and I don't have training or I don't have credentials, but I'm doing it because it's my energy. It's what I'm here to experience and create. I think that's going to come online for a lot of people. And again, really rapidly, especially as we move into these whole new frequencies.
Yeah. And it's a remembrance very often. I think, you know, I feel so aligned with ancient Lemuria because, you know, I think that's one of the most perfect civilizations we have any knowledge of. And there was so much ancient wisdom then. And I think that's, we are going to remember, it'll just come naturally. And I think a lot of it is going to come via the water, because water, I believe, you know, Veda's beautiful work leads our consciousness. Yeah. And as the ancient ice starts to melt, whether it's at the poles or whether it's in the Himalayas, and Kelly Kolodny's talked about this in her channeling, a lot of the ancient wisdom that was sort of embedded in the ice is going to become the universal drinking water, which of course is unifying to trees and slugs and snails and you and me and all nationalities. And so it, I'm so many goosebumpy brushes in this. But it's going to be, you know, that the ancient wisdom just emerges from us because we are crystals and we have to drink the water in order to survive. Mm-hmm. And that's how some of this remembrance is going to come through, is my feeling.
And I feel that this is a beautiful, empowering thing to remember because, I mean, we know that there are big influences right now with technology, AI, electronics, convenience, everything that is being developed. This is the counterbalance to that. This is like we're bringing alive more of the best of being human, more of the best of our own experiences and abilities and our hearts and our compassion, our empathy, you know, all these qualities that haven't been truly honored, or at least haven't been as visible, especially, you know, for thousands of years. It's sort of like we've had to be a certain way to be successful, to survive, to make a living, to be, you know, good at being a human. I think we're going to have these whole new understandings of what it means to be a human being on the planet. And it's going to be a much bigger embodiment and definition that is grounded in parts of ourselves that relate to the divine feminine, that certainly relate to Lemurian qualities, that remind us that, you know, we're here to come alive at a whole new level.
I absolutely feel that in my bones, and I know that you do too. It's going to be a beautiful experience where we can just flow with different experiences in such a malleable, fluid way. And I think our whole understanding of how reality works is going to become very different to the mechanistic understanding in the past. I think astrology is going to go through massive evolutionary jumps, but we can understand that the whole cosmos is just one unified consciousness, and that we are just divine fractals of that. And it's in understanding that and kind of flowing with the rest of it in a kind of physics of energy way, that everything becomes possible. And I don't even know what I'm saying here, because it's just slightly out of reach at the moment.
But yes, I know. And so I thought too, like, do you mind if we touch on even the future of astrology? Because it's interesting how, you know, things are happening so quickly that it's not as if we can pinpoint exact things in these energies. It feels like it's way too dynamic and multidimensional, where there's a recognition of, okay, this could happen in three different ways and all three ways would be valid. Like if we were to describe a certain event or something, that's how I'm seeing it. How do you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because at the moment, we've only got 3D language and background as a context for describing something we've never experienced before that is much more valuable and infinite. So that's why I think we struggle, because we've got such a small vocabulary, if you like, in the way we it's not enough for where we're going. And so I'm absolutely with you on that. So it's just a kind of trust and opening to the flow. And remember, we are all in this together. We are all evolving together. And it could be, you know, coming up, yes, in waves. And it doesn't matter which wave you're in. It doesn't matter. All of humanity is expanding its consciousness. It really is. We're all going to get on the plane at the airport of unity consciousness. Chosen fast track or slow track. We're all going to get on that plane. And I also think it's very interesting that when you look back historically, when Pluto was in Aquarius previously, that's always when there was a deeper or greater understanding of the cosmos. Often it's because there were bigger, stronger telescopes and we went further out in space. But our vision of the cosmos and therefore our understanding of our consciousness, which of course the outer is the inner, expanded at the same time. So I think... So in Aquarius is another revolution in understanding the out there, but it's only understanding the out there because we've got an expansion of the in here. Otherwise, we couldn't see it out there.
And that's so beautifully explained, because then we also pull in Uranus and Gemini, Gemini being the human mind, Uranus being universal intelligence, and then also Neptune and Aries, Aries being the body, the self. So we have this these blasts of consciousness working specifically with our concept of ourselves and how we're perceiving ourselves in the cosmos. And all of that is evolving at these very high levels that's changing us, again, in ways we don't even understand yet. But I agree with you that we'll look back here on 2026 and be like, wow, so much was happening even behind the scenes that I didn't even realize was occurring until later. And I think that's just going to be a big signature of this year, is that we are expanding internally and externally. And this is exciting growth. I just feel like people know that that's how you and I see this, that there's something here that you as a soul absolutely said, I want to have this experience in this lifetime with 8 billion of my closest friends so that we can all be contributing to where we go next, like where we steer this earth ship or
Yeah, it's like our time capsules have been activated. You know, the acorn, is now, you know, the caterpillar is now activated. We're in the mush. You know, there's no stepping back now. We're in our transformation. And I think many more of us, and I know you experienced this already, Molly, are going to have a much greater sense of our galactic family as well. Yeah. Because often you get downloads, don't you, from galactic connection.
And they present themselves in different frequencies that I can see. And that's been something that's developed through the years, but they will make direct eye contact with me. I will see different beings that are all connected or related. I will receive their messages. They speak to me in different kinds of codes and methods that they know I would understand. So they've been very accommodating, if you will, to make sure that I'm getting what I need to understand. And I've developed a lot of trust in their perspective, because the galactic energies I connect with are of a higher frequency, as they are for most. But they see a different timeline than our human timeline. And they have a different concept of time that's different than ours. So it's interesting, when I do have these connections with them, it's not based on, okay, do this on Wednesday. It's based on when the energy is correct, when the energy is clear. And that's a whole different way of operating. So it's a sense of, well, I'm living in a timelessness when I connect with them, because that's where they reside from our perspective, at least. So yeah, it's been really beautiful to have those connections, because they give me some very clear understandings of many things. But I think more and more people are going to be feeling that, trusting that, and honoring their galactic family and these other beings who are supporting us. Absolutely.
It's beautiful.
And you have your experiences too. You've had your interactions.
Yeah, yeah. I feel it more as a kind of claircognizance. And I know if I hear or read a particular phrase and I get kind of like a mini electric shock, pay attention.
Oh, wow.
pay attention to that word or that phrase, and I know I've got to go down a rabbit hole with that phrase. So I think we have very different signatures, and don't stress. You know, don't stress if you're not clairvoyant or clairaudient. You know, I used to stress about that I don't at the moment see or hear, but I do have a sense of knowing, and I do have a sense of feeling, and that's just fine. You know, don't in a yoga class, don't compare yourself to Mary next door. She's done it for 50 years. Run your own. As we've each got our own particular culture that we'll learn to trust. And but particularly with the three-eye atlas coming through, when it was closest to Venus, I had my emerald green, my brilliant green emerald experience. And I think many of us are going to have another experience, if we're open to it, when three-eye atlas makes its final flyby past Jupiter on 16th, 17th of March, just a few days before the Aries equinox, because that's going to activate with Jupiter and Cancer, and it's conjunct Sirius then, of course, as well, is going to activate ancient knowledge and wisdom, ancestral knowledge. And it's going to seed, and it could be a literal seeding of physical components or compounds that come to Earth, or just a frequency that's activated then that helps us to launch into all of that Aries energy. That's the rebirth for humanity. That's my feeling.
You know, it's beautiful.
Step by step by step. Coming up in the next couple of months. I mean, I think even by the end of July, we are going to be in such a different place than we are right now.
Right. And then the nodes are changing into that north node moves into Aquarius. Oh, and that's important since where this eclipse is at 28:29 of Aquarius, the north node then moves across that same territory in our charts late July, early August, reactivating the next level advancements of this eclipse. And so I see that as very supportive. I feel that as helping us continue to move on and to lock in to these new levels of consciousness and these new perceptions that we are sensing and trusting. I feel it as we're going to be taken further along on our path, wherever that north node in Aquarius is in your chart. It's certainly expanding you into more of your future self and a higher consciousness that you came here to embody. So yeah, end of July into August, and then August is our next eclipse season. So there's always a lot to talk about, isn't there?
It's a gift that keeps on giving, isn't it? But you know, that could be so galactic, so beautifully galactic as well. Aquarius, ruled by Uranus, you know, the sign and the planet most connected to galactic connection. And of course, before that in June, I think it's June the 11th, we have Uranus square the nodal axis. I see that as big wave of truth and awakening coming in. So I just see waves of truth awakening all through this year. And the truths are going to be shocking, even for those of us who felt reasonably aware. I think that at times they're going to be shocking, but they're a necessary part of the process to galvanize us to say, boy, are we going to come together to create a more loving world. Conviction and- that we have.
And we're going to be even better at taking care of our nervous systems, of our emotional well-being, of our bodies. Like, we're going to become more skilled at managing our energy in all ways. I feel too that calming the mind is essential now. It's almost like if you can't calm the mind, it will lead to all these other, you know, that monkey mind energy is going to stress you out. So one of the biggest priorities of this year is how you calm the mind, reset, allow yourself to just be strong and clear as these big waves unfold. I feel that personally as something that becomes a new way of life. Even seeking out the silence, seeking out quiet, seeking out anything that supports just the energy being more settled for each of us, because otherwise it's all going to be too much, you know. And that's when people can even get sick, or they can have some things develop because they're living in that very high state without knowing how to calm it down. So I feel like that's going to be essential here for all of us.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. That's so important, because the Aquarius energy is so jazzy, isn't it? So overstimulated, and with all the technology, and that's going to be moving so fast. So, and all the ways to calm yourself down are free, or you can choose to make them free. Bare feet on the earth, bare feet on the grass, yogic belly breath breathing, shutting your eyes 3-4 times a day and just taking 10 slow breaths, yoga, candle gazing, meditating, tai chi, you know, all of those things are so easily accessible for us. You don't have to pay a ton of money to fly to New York, so, you know, none of that. They are all very simple inward sort of fallback, so they become your absolutely default place to go, where you can just within seconds feel like I'm butter melting in the sun.
Yes,
yes. Just my energy. I also suggest people, you know, before you do your 10 slow breaths, just take all of your worries and stresses and problems, put them in a wooden box next to you on the table. You can pick them up when you come out of it. And just for those few minutes, just shut your eyes and 10 slow breaths. But check in with yourself at the beginning of that and check in with yourself at the end, and do you feel different? And that's develop mastery.
That's beautiful. And on that note, I would even say it's okay to leave your phone at home while you go for a walk. It's okay to leave your phone somewhere, because we're all so addicted to our phones, many of us, that we have this like, we have this almost highly codependent relationship with the phone that now represents everything. But we didn't live like that for decades. So I think there's this detachment that's necessary from specifically your phone. If you can be separated from your phone for an amount of time every day, that is healthy. That is good living. You are strong. You can do anything if you don't look at your phone for 30 minutes or an hour. And it's just true. Like, I know that so many people, we all have it nearby. So I guess that would be another way to just form a simple habit of, it's okay to leave my phone in another room or to lock it away for an hour while I go for a walk, and really go into my own brilliance, right? Allow my mind to be free and to be open and creative and receptive. That's really healthy for us right now. It's always been healthy, but even more so right now.
Yeah, beautifully said, Molly. Do you know, people, I've said this, people know this, and my friends go crackers at me, but I never take my phone when I'm going for a walk, ever. Because I want to talk to the trees and I want to talk to my neighbor's dog. I never take the phone. Friends say, what if you tripped up? And I say, well, I'm not that decrepit. I see the occasional person, you know, and I only switch it on whenever I need a verification code. Otherwise, I never switch my mobile phone on. It's off the whole time because I know how addictive it could become.
Sure.
And I just won't live like that. It's a very conscious decision that I will not live like that. So I operate with my landline, which is an old corded phone, which works beautifully as it always has done. And people know how to get to me if they need to. And I've made that a very deliberate decision. I am not going to have my life ruled by the mobile. You know, I'm spending enough time on the computer, let alone that.
You are a queen. And I will keep my phone because I'm always thinking, well, if my son needs something at school, like if there's a message from a teacher, if there's this or if there's that, but that's very rare. So, I mean, my phone is nearby, but even when I can keep it in another place, I feel the energy shifts, right? Because it is an energetic presence in our lives, our phones, with the signals it is blasting out and receiving. And so being away from electronics is also so important for us. So yes, walking in the woods as you do, being out in nature, even if you can find a park nearby, all of that's so good for our energy because it helps to reset us, and we need the negative ions. We need those negative ions to reset our positive ions. So I think that's going to be even more important.
Call it forest bathing, don't they?
Yes.
And actually, if I do take my phone with me, like I'm driving some distance, I put it in a Faraday bag.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those too. Yeah.
It can buy very cheaply. And then, you know, it's not interfering with your energy field, and you only reach for it when you really need it. So, it's beautiful. So all this is simple stuff, isn't it? And that's what I'd really encourage people to do, as you do, Molly, when they're feeling overwhelmed and overstimulated and I can't cope and there's too much craziness in the world. And just know it's all part of the scenery collapsing. At a higher level, we have already achieved where we need to be. It's just the remnants of the old 3D world collapsing very, very loudly. And if you can see it in that context, then it really helps. It feels palpable, doesn't it, Molly? The momentum of this new energy feels increasingly palpable. I think the more you can stay in calm, the more you can tap into that. And of course, it's the invisible. So, but you've got to feel it for yourself. And even if you can feel it for a few moments, then you connect to it and say, yeah, this is building. This is momentum that's really building. And it's so, you know, it's like being on a whitewater rafting ride. And and it's super exciting. But just know that you are in control of your state of being through these simple things we've talked about here.
Yes, yes. Oh, Pam, this has been so wonderful. I've loved sharing all of this with you, everything we've covered, all the joy we have for these changes and what we're creating, and even the spirit of community and the fact that it's a good time to remember none of us are alone in this phase of things, and that the more you're open to connecting with people or to going to a new class or trying a new meditation class or just showing up somewhere, you might be surprised at who else shows up there too and who else is there that you connect with. I feel like that's beautifully supported right now too. So I just wanted to mention that before we closed out, because I think there's a lot of people who are ready for those new connections.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. And they really are out there. You know, there's so much opportunity online. Molly has an incredibly active community, a very loyal and loving community. So, you know, just connect to somebody somewhere that you feel is on your frequency. And I think the other thing I'd say, and this is very much from me personally, you know, and I'm sure you feel it too, Molly, that with the volume of work, it's very easy to make work your priority. It has been for me in the past that, oh, got to do that, got a deadline, promised somebody I'd do that, you know, got to. But now I'm switching that to make my state of being my absolutely top priority. I will do my breath every day. I will do my meditation. I absolutely in any weather will take my forest walk. And so I've switched the priorities around despite the volume of work, because I know that will help me navigate more easily.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you there. And we need that. Thank you so much, Pam. And everyone, if you're not already connected with Pam on YouTube, I have the intention and the hope that Pam is the first astrologer to get 1 million subscribers on YouTube. So please check out all of her wonderful videos, conversations, offerings, everything that she's putting out there. It's always top notch. So well done, so beneficial, and I hope it helps you with what we're moving through now. So just thank you so much, Pam. I really appreciate your time and everything you've shared.
Yeah, I loved it, Molly. And equally, Molly has some beautiful, beautiful offerings. And I think probably a more personal lens on the astrology. I talk often more in mundane astrology. Molly has a very particular personal lens, so, and fabulous teaching modules as well. So I'd really encourage you to follow her super active YouTube channel. You put a lot of, I don't know how you do it in the time actually, Molly. So joyful conversation and just love to everybody out there, and just feel the excitement and the joy of this is a massive opportunity for all of us. So let's step into it. Go time.
Yes. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you back here soon. Take good
care. Love everybody. Love to Molly. Yep. Bye.
So as you heard, Kerry Marie Callender, the Distinction Hotel, Sunday the 1st of March, 7 o'clock. Get your tickets at Event Finder. If you can't find them there, we've probably got a link on our website as well.
I am Barry, it's been the Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.